Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, have a seat and go with me to the book of John, Gospel of John, Big John. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the rivers of living water. John chapter number 7, verse number 37 through verse number 39. I love the imagery. Jesus has just been talking to his family. And his family's saying, why don't you show yourself? What are you doing? He says, I'm not going up to the feast. They said, you know, if you're going to do this, you should show yourself. You should be public. You should go out with this. If you are who you say you are. Now, his family had doubts. His family had also thought he was crazy at one point, and they were coming to talk to him, talk some sense into him. He wouldn't talk to him. So I think there may have been a little bit of sibling rivalry going on and some things that were taking place. Jesus ends up going to the feast. He ends up starting to reveal himself. And I love the imagery that we get in John chapter 7, starting in verse number 37. This is a feast that's taking place. They've been in the Feast of Tabernacles. So they've all got their little tabernacle set up with palm branches and different things that they've been staying in for a whole week. And then the last day is a feast. They start with a feast and they end with a feast. And they're celebrating. And they're remembering the time that they were strangers in a strange land. They're remembering the time that they came out of Egypt. And now they're free men and women, but they stayed in tabernacles. They stayed in tents. And so here in this setting, verse number 37 of John chapter 7 comes along. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast. You think about it. This is a celebration. This is the last day. You're going to end with a bang. On the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Now, there's nothing more open than that, right? Here Jesus is in the middle of a feast. Everybody's in tents around him. And he stands up and he shouts something. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, I'm reminded of Jesus speaking to one person, not shouting, but talking. At a well in John chapter number 4, there was a woman that he talked to, right? And he told her, he said, you come to this fountain to drink, but you should have asked me and I would have given you living water, that you would thirst no more. And she says, where are you going to get this water? Are you greater than our ancestor who built the well for us? Jesus started talking to her about her life, pointed out her issues, and she said, I perceive you're a prophet. She ends up leaving that place and leaving her water jar next to the well and running and being one of the first evangelists telling everybody in Samaria about Jesus. The Samaritans come out and they say, we went on the testimony of this woman, but now we've seen for ourselves. And they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come to me if you're thirsty and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, that's an amazing thought when you think about that. Jesus says, come to me and drink. Now, when he talked to the woman, he said, it will bubble up into a fountain, into a spring of eternal life. Now, that's wonderful personally. But now Jesus adds to that thought, and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his own belly, you won't be thirsty anymore. But look at what it says. Out of his own heart will flow rivers of living water. Notice he didn't say the river of living water, right? He said, out of his heart will flow rivers. There will be multiple streams that come out of that person. There's something that comes up. You come and you get a drink from Jesus. He is the well. He is the spring of life. Now you get that drink. You are no longer thirsty, but now something comes out of you which can provide for other people. And it multiplies. It becomes greater than what you just got a drink. But that little drink became a fountain. That fountain became a flow. That flow became a flood. And that flood became rivers of living water. Because that living water now going forth from your heart out there into the world is a stream that people can come to and they can be refreshed. They can be healed. They can be encouraged and they will thirst no more. Is anybody listening tonight? Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, Jesus had not yet went to the cross, died, went to the grave, resurrected, and then ascended on high. But the author, John, is now looking back and writing an account of what took place. And the Holy Spirit is bringing these things to John's remembrance and having John as the earthly author, but the Holy Spirit is the author pointing out to John and to us today that Jesus stood up and shouted this at everybody, And we could apply it in a certain way, but he says this directly applies to the Spirit that will be given to those who believe. You know, when I look at starting off a new year, I look at things that I want to do, resolutions and things that I want to start, maybe things that I want to improve on. Maybe there's something new that I want to do that I'm looking at. How am I going to do that? I look at the things that I want to take place in a year. What are my goals? What are the things that at the end of the year I want to have accomplished? What are some things that I can do better, or maybe that I can increase in? What are some things that I can check off a list and say I did that in this year? And as I look at those things, oftentimes I leave out the one who matters the most in my calculations and in my thoughts, because my thoughts are oftentimes very natural. Can we be honest in this place? You know, even though I'm a pastor, I'm not always thinking about the spiritual things. I'm oftentimes thinking about the natural things. You know, we need to get in shape, need to do this, need to make more money, all that kind of stuff. Those sorts of goals. What do I want to go see? What do I want to go do, right? But Jesus said that when you take a drink from him, if you believe in him, you'll come to him. If you thirst, you can come and drink, and that drink will turn into a well that will bubble up into eternal life. Now, we as Christians have that. But here he takes it a step further and he says, out of your heart will flow something. Out of the inmost part of your being will flow something. See, when we get caught up in those natural thoughts and when we start to turn our thoughts, because see, out of you will come up this thing about God. God will always be in the mix. And as I start to think about exercise and as I start to think about prosperity and as I start to think about entertainment or vacations or things like that, God somehow always comes out of me. Why? Because he's in me. And because I've had a drink and that drink has turned into that flood and that flow, and now those rivers come out of me. And so God gets in everything. And to start this year off right, I thought it would be fitting that we should talk about the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, God the Father is a spirit. He is in heaven, right? Jesus has ascended. He's no longer on the earth. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus said that he was going to, we just read it, send the Holy Spirit to the church. That means for us today, the way that we interact with God is through the Holy Spirit. You understand? Jesus said, in that day you will ask me nothing, but you will go straight to the Father. You know how we go straight to the Father? Because the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to the Father. Jesus is interceding on our behalf, praying for us. See, we can commune with God through the power of the Holy Spirit presently. The Holy Spirit is the oil that fills the church. He is the anointing oil. See, in the old temple, they used to fill up the lights with oil, right? And that's how they would burn a wick, right? And that wick would draw from that oil and it would stay lit. See, the thing that keeps us, can I use some worldly terms, keeps us lit as Christians? Is that applicable? Any millennials can correct my English here, right? But the things that keeps us lit as Christians, keeps us on fire for the Holy Spirit, for the things of God, is the Holy Spirit presently in his church. See, if you remove the Holy Spirit from the church, you've just removed the presence of God. And God forbid that this church or any other church, if you remove the Holy Spirit, should continue on at business as usual. See, if you remove the Holy Spirit, it should shut down. But if you remove the Holy Spirit and it keeps going, that means that it's not the Holy Spirit that's feeding it. Is that right? It's systems, it's things of this world, and you can be successful in that. But listen, you can totally miss God without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what makes the difference. At age 15, I gave my heart and life to Jesus and everything changed. It was like everything changed. I don't know what it was. I grew up in a Christian home, raised in church, that sort of a thing. But there came a point in my life where I realized, you know what, I'm around Christians. I know about God, but I have not yet surrendered everything of who I am to God. And I gave my heart, my life to Jesus in the middle of the night one night, and I woke up the next day and I was different. I was born again. I mean, the birds were chirping louder. The sky looked clearer. Even the smog sparkled better somehow. I don't know what that was, but it just, everything seemed better, right? And my life was changed. I had a filthy mouth as a 15-year-old, you know, a little young man thinking he knew everything and was using curse words. Immediately my mouth was cleaned up. And so it was just like, there was noticeable change in my life right away, that evidence that, you know what, something's taken place on the inside of me. I remember I got involved in missions. I got involved in my youth group and I was raised up in leadership and went off interning, that sort of a thing. But something happened 5 years later that made a huge difference in my life. And that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went to one of the camps here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I was part of the musical team. We were the musical guest for the Rock Youth Camp. It was called .com. And so we went out there for the .com. It was the year 2000, and I was 20 years old. And here we went, and Pastor Eddie O'Gara at the time was youth pastor. He's the pastor at the Rock Church of Coachella Valley, doing a great job. Him and Donna and the team, their sons are in ministry with them. They're just a wonderful church out there in the desert. If you know anybody out there in the desert, you should tell them, go to the Rock out there. They're just wonderful. And so Pastor Eddie was ministering, and he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was raised in conservative churches, okay, several of them. And throughout the course of my young upbringing, I had learned different things about the Holy Spirit, things that I would not teach you guys today because I see different things than I was taught in the Word of God. Things like that the Holy Spirit isn't for today. Things like that the power of the Holy Spirit, that those gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit, that died with the last apostle. Those are some of the things that I was taught. And yet when I look in the Word, I don't see those things. I don't see that it was only for the apostles, because there was Philip, who wasn't an apostle. He was an evangelist. He was a table waiter, and yet he went and had revival with miracles and signs and wonders in Samaria. And then he went on, he had daughters who were prophesying. So this was a generational thing. I see scriptures that say the promise is for you and for your children and to those who are far off. I see that Jesus saying, those who believe, these signs shall follow them in my name. They will do these deeds. I wonder, is there any believers in the house tonight? See, if you're a believer, then you qualify for the power of the Holy Spirit. You qualify for rivers of living water flowing forth from your heart. That's a promise of God. Look at what it said. Look at the verse again. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, if you believe, then you qualify for this promise. Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those doing what? Believing. That means you have to believe. And when I look at the church that doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they say, why are there no manifestations of the Holy Ghost? I think I can understand why. Because they're operating in unbelief. Is that right? It's no different with us. See, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had that thing in the back of my mind telling me, this is not real. This, you know what? I heard a story from somebody one time. They said they got baptized in the Holy Ghost and they started using tongues and they were actually cursing God in another person's language. Listen, guys, some of that stuff is fabricated. That stuff is foolish, and we don't need to listen to that. Wouldn't the devil love to stop you from having the power of the Holy Spirit? So lies get fabricated and circulated, and all of a sudden we're believing a lie rather than trying to find out what the truth is. God wants us not to fill up with lies and with intrigue and with things that so-and-so did this and they were a Holy Ghost-filled believer and they were a mess. Yes, I understand that you can choose to sin. You can choose to walk away from the power of the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't mean that it makes it any less real. These are promises for us. God wants you to have a power-filled life. God wants you to have rivers of living water. God doesn't want you just to take a drink for yourself and just keep it to yourself. No, God wants you to have so much that it bubbles out of you, that it flows from your life into the people around you, that they can come and take a drink, that they can have that same fulfillment and refreshing in their life. God wants to bring life and health. See, the Holy Spirit is spoken of here. He's the one who gives not just a river, but rivers of living water. And there's many ways that the Holy Spirit can give life. Did you know that there are tons of gifts that you can find in the Bible? If you want to take some time at home and read about them, read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and Romans chapter number 12. Okay, they're right next to each other. It's the same chapter, chapter number 12. You will find gifts that the Holy Spirit gives in each one of those chapters. So if you want to find out specifically how he does it, gifts of healings, gifts of administration, gifts of giving, gifts of prophecy, gifts of speaking in unknown tongues, languages that people didn't even know, that they're able to pray and to talk to God, and it gives them a dynamic in prayer that they didn't have before. They're able to interpret those tongues for other people to be encouraged by what's being said. There's different gifts gifts that are given, working of miracles, measures of faith that, like, you can just believe God for stuff that you wouldn't have been able to before. It comes on you. It's a spirit of faith. You can believe God and you can receive it. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives that are rivers, channels of blessing to the church and to people as a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world. See, the world is looking for the miraculous. They're looking for supernatural. They want to see something. Even Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, right? And here Jesus goes and he does a miracle. And it's no different for the church. See, we don't think that we have that kind of power to work a miracle. And yet, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power to do it. So how does this happen? Well, in John chapter 20, verse number 22, Jesus is resurrected. Jesus has now come back to his disciples. And we see something unusual taking place. John chapter 20, verse number 22. Turn there with me. Towards the end of the Gospel of John, chapter number 20, verse number 22. Look at what it says. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Verse 21, he says, peace to you as the Father sent me, I also send you. He gives them a commissioning. Now look at what he says in verse number 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, he breathes on them. I find that very interesting. The reason why I find that interesting is because Jesus is coming to men who, according to my Bible, were dead in their transgression and sin at that point. Jesus has now gone to the cross. He has raised again to life. He's appeared to them, shown them his resurrected body. They now believe that Jesus is who he says he is and did what he said he would do, even though they had already declared it beforehand. But now Jesus comes to them and it says, I'm sending you, and he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Very interesting that he does that. Why? Because when you go back to Genesis, you find God stooping down and creating the form of a man out of the dust. And what does he do to breathe life? What does he do to give life? He breathes into the nostrils of the man the breath of life. Is that right? I believe that Jesus here, for the first time we see it in Scripture, is doing what Creator God did in the garden, only he's doing it with people's souls, with people's spirits. That he's giving them a new birth at that point. He's saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathes on them. He's breathing the breath of life back into their spirits at this point, okay? Why do I say this? Because you find in the Gospel of Luke, and you find in the book of Acts, we'll look at the verse in a moment, that Jesus says, I want you to tarry, I want you to wait, I want you to hang out and chill in Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why would he say that if he was gonna breathe on them in the room and that was it? That shows me that there are two separate experiences with the Holy Spirit. One is the new birth, right? When you say yes to Jesus, giving him all of your heart and all of your life, you now give God everything that you are. And the Bible says that you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. That can't happen physically because I know I'm still here on the earth. So that means that is a spiritual reality. My spirit currently, when I give my heart and life to Jesus, boom, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. But you know what else happens? He now comes and lives on the inside of me. There's an exchange that takes place. That's why as a Christian, when you start to mess up, you mess around, all of a sudden your spirit, ooh, that doesn't feel right. Maybe you get a little whisper and it sounds like your conscience. It is your conscience. The Holy Spirit speaks to you through the voice of your conscience. Don't do that. No, no, no. No looky. No touchy. Right? We know that voice. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes when the Holy Spirit is guiding you as well, you'll hear that still, small voice. Hey, go talk to them about Jesus. Hey, see that person crying over there in the corner? Just go put a hand on their shoulder. Tell them from me, everything's gonna be all right. Hey, see that guy over there sniffling and sneezing? Go ask if you can pray for him, all right? See, that oftentimes is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and leading you to do things. Same thing with if you've ever been walking out the door and God says, go, no, grab another shirt. What am I gonna grab another shirt for? You step outside the door and all of a sudden coming off the roof, a gust of wind blows dirt all over you. That's why I needed to grab another shirt, right? Some of you parents, you know, especially with little kids, right? Bring a change of clothes, and sure enough, they mess themselves all up, don't they? Just load a diaper, it goes all over them. That's why I should have listened to the Holy Ghost, right? So the Lord will speak to you. Thank you for that, some of you guys are laughing. It's wonderful. You know who the young parents are, the old parents who remember those days. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Okay? After John, you'll find the book of Acts. Remember, Jesus just breathed on them what I believe is the breath of life. But he said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us life. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, before he ascends, look at what takes place. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now wait, if that was them receiving the Holy Spirit when he breathed on them, why is he now before he ascends telling them, you will receive power? See, two separate experiences, right? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now remember, he had already said, I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. Now he's saying, you guys are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And in the end of the book of Luke, he says, tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now the day of Pentecost comes around. Pentecost is another one of the celebrations. We already talked about the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Weeks, that Jesus stood up and he cried out concerning the Holy Spirit that rivers of living water will flow forth from your belly, right? Or from your heart. Now here is another feast. It's the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost was the first signs of growth, okay? They had a party at the first signs of growth. It was on this day that they were going to have a party, that everybody was assembled together. They all had to travel from different parts, wherever they were from, to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And there at Pentecost, at this celebration, at this wonderful time when everybody was gathered together in Jerusalem, God chose to send the Holy Spirit to the church. Why? Because he's speaking something. This is the first signs of growth. Is that the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is going to come upon you. And because I got everybody gathered together for the feast, guess what? You're going to be my witnesses. You don't have to go to them to start out. I'm going to bring them to your doorstep to start out. Isn't that cool how God works? And so here he is in Acts chapter 2 this time. Verse number 4, they're all gathered together on the day of Pentecost. They're all praying. They hear a sound of a rushing wind. Now, they didn't experience a rushing wind. They heard the sound of it. Because the Holy Spirit was coming in, but it was like he was roaring through the heavens coming down to bless the church, right? And so here he comes in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, flaming tongues of fire come into the room. They divide over everybody that's there praying. And look at what it says in Acts chapter number 2. Let me turn there. Verse number 4, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice, here's on the day of Pentecost, the first signs of growth, the first signs of fruitfulness, the Holy Spirit is given, and the first sign that's given is that they start to speak in a language that they don't understand. Now, we know that they went out into the streets, right? That was the very first thing. Jesus said, you will receive power and you'll be my witnesses. What happened? They received the power. Supernatural things started happening. And then they ran out of that place and they started to praise God. They were still speaking in the other tongues. And people from all over the world with different languages said, hey, we hear the wonderful works of God in our own languages. And it started talking about the Greeks and the different people from different areas, how each one of them heard in their own language. And they said, these guys got to be drunk, right? They just thought, this is silly. This is ridiculous. Look at what's taking place. These guys are drunk. Peter gets up and he says, guys, these guys aren't drunk. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning, right? They couldn't have been drinking that long to get that drunk, right? To where they all of a sudden supernaturally understand other languages. He says, this is the prophecy that was spoken, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now your young men will dream dreams, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, right? And I will pour out my spirit on your maidservants and your men servants, right? And he says, blood and fire and smoke until the great and awful day of the Lord when Jesus comes. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet. This was what was said, that the Spirit would be poured out on the church and that supernatural things would start taking place. I remember there at that youth camp in the year 2000 when Pastor Eddie prayed over me. I had it almost seemed like I had guys just hold my arms or something. Like, I don't know if they were holding me down or what, but like they were praying. He was praying over me, and I just sat there, and he said, go ahead and speak, you know. And I was expecting like the Book of Acts experience, you know what I mean? I was expecting like this flow, and like somebody says, hey, I hear Japanese, and how does he know that, you know? But none of that happened. I got one word. Just one word. And I recognized the word. It was the Hebrew word, Urim. And I'm like, and Pastor Eddie says, I know you got a word, say it. And I said, Urim. He goes, keep saying it. Ugh, this feels weird. Urim, 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 Urim. And he says, you just wait there till the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your heart. And so I was like, okay, you know. And I left kind of skeptical. But I realized later what was taking place. God gave me a word, Urim. The Urim and the Thummim they would use to make decisions. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to be a believer or was I going to be an unbeliever? Was I going to receive the fullness that God had for me or was I going to say, that's you know, that's weird, that's not for me. And I believe it's no different for all of us in this place today. We can choose whether or not we believe and we receive or whether we say, you know what, that's not really for me. I don't think that, you know, that's going to make any difference in my life. See, tonight, I want to encourage you to get past this right up here, your mental thinking, your brain. This is probably the biggest hindrance to the baptism of the Holy Spirit is right here. I've had plenty of people that are smarter than me, plenty of people who have more degrees than me, plenty of people who, you know, have more time and more experience on this earth with a lot more life than I have, and yet this is the one thing that they can't get over, to simply believe God and receive what he's given to us as a gift. The Holy Spirit is a promise. The Holy Spirit is a gift to all who believe. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it can happen either separately, like we talked about, because like Philip, when he went and he evangelized Samaria, he preached the gospel, they got saved, then the apostles came down, they laid hands, and they received the Holy Spirit. The apostle Paul finds some believers and says, did you guys receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. And so he starts preaching to them the good news that the Holy Ghost has come, and he prays for them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now all of a sudden they're speaking in tongues, prophesying, they've got the power of God on their lives, okay? But it can also happen at the moment of salvation. So I don't want to like make a distinction that you have to get saved, then there has to be this tarrying time and you got to wait for the Holy Ghost and that sort of a thing. Even though that was my experience, we see a guy named Philip in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 through 46. Here the apostle Peter, he's been called to a Gentile home. Now this was not for the Jews to do. Up until this time, there was a separation. The Jews stuck to themselves. The Gentiles stuck to themselves. The Jews were the chosen people of God, and now they had received the salvation of God through the Messiah, and now God says, Peter, I want you to go, and I want you to preach the gospel and start the Gentile church. Start breaking out of this mold of just you and the Jews in Jerusalem. I want you to start branching out because this is for all men. And now here Peter is, and he's proclaiming the gospel, and he says this to him, while the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Now, Peter is preaching the gospel succinctly to Cornelius and his whole household is sitting there. Now, Cornelius was a wealthy man. He was a leader in the Roman army. So his household was probably a bunch of people sitting around in the beautiful estate. And when he preaches the gospel, when he gets to the point where he starts talking about you can be saved, you can receive forgiveness and remission or removal of sins, look at what takes place in Acts chapter 10, verse number 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. In other words, the Jews that were believers that were sitting in that room were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 46, how did they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In other words, the same thing that happened to Peter and those who were there in the upper room had now happened to Cornelius and all of his family and all of his household, all of his servants, everybody that was in the room. They heard Peter and they were all listening to Peter and going, wow, we can be forgiven of our sins. That's amazing. Hey, I believe that. And they start praising God and they start glorifying God and they start lifting up God. And Peter and the rest of the guys that are with him who are believers, they sit back and go, wait a second, whoa, that's what happened to us. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, Peter says, whoa, time out, wait a second. If they got the gift of the Holy Ghost, what's stopping them from being baptized in water? And so they take them and they baptize them all in water, showing that they got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit all in one. Now, I would think about it this way, okay? Remember, we said these are two separate experiences, but they can happen at the same time. It's like if you took your car in and you wanted to get your brakes done and you wanted to get an oil change, right? Two separate things, but you can get them done at the same time, right? Same thing. You can get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit all in one because God knows what he's doing in your heart. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the simple way to receive is this: believe, ask, and expect. It's just so simple. It's just so simple. You want to get past this? This is how. Believe. Believe, number one, what? That it's real. You see it in the Word. I have shown it to you in the Word of God. I've shown it to you in my life, my testimony. And I'm sure there's tons of people. How many of you in this room already filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Okay. Did you experience power or something different after you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Hands up if you did. Look at this. Okay. So it's not just my testimony. It's the testimony of believers around you as well. Okay. So you got to believe that it's true. You've seen it from the Word. You've seen it from other people's lives. But then you got to ask for it. You got to go to God and say, God, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to open up the altar in a moment. And those of you that want to get baptized, want to get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you can receive that baptism. You can receive that power to be a witness like Jesus talked about. You can receive the gifts. Some of you guys will receive that gift right away. It'll manifest itself right away. You'll hear people speaking in tongues like I just showed you. Now, I showed you as an example. The Bible does say that everything must be done decently and in order. And it says that with a tongue that's spoken in an unknown language, there also must be an interpretation of that tongue. Okay, so we understand that everything's going to be done decently and in order, okay, tonight. So we're not going to get goofy, not going to get weird. But at the same time, sometimes the move of the Holy Spirit can feel weird because it's not natural, it's supernatural. And so tonight you may see people that are experiencing things in their physical bodies, like sometimes people express, I felt like electricity hit me, or I felt like heat was on the palms of my hands, or I just started sweating, or something happened to me where my knees buckled and I fell down and I couldn't get up. Sometimes people start to prophesy. They just start to speak out the glorious things that God does, and you can hear them. Sometimes people will shout because it just is like on the inside of them, it just starts to come out of them, okay? So know that as we gather together at this altar, there's going to be some supernatural things that take place, some things that maybe you go, that's a little weird, okay? Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, listen, guys, I love you so much. This is a wonderful, solid, Bible-believing, healthy church. You are welcome to go if you're uncomfortable with the move of the Holy Spirit in this place. There's no judgment. You can come back Sunday morning and just experience church and have fun doing that. But listen, if you want to experience and encounter the presence of God, you got to believe, you got to ask for it. And then final thing is just this, expect that God is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Expect that God is true to his word. He's going to do what he said he would do. Expect that God is going to show up and he's going to impart gifts into your life. You know, as I left that youth camp and as I went away, I didn't really use the gift that was given to me. I didn't keep using that word. And I remember I was talking to my wife now. At the time, she was my girlfriend. And we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, yeah, you know, I got the word and I was told to keep using it. I kept doing it for a little while. But then, you know what? Nothing really happened. Nothing really ever came of it. And I left that place that night. And she is a whole lot more spiritual than I am. And so she prayed and she was kind of angry at me. Not kind of angry. She was livid. She was mad hot at me, right? And so she prays and she says, oh, God, I pray that as she drives home tonight, Holy Spirit, that you just whack him upside the head. And that he didn't even know what hit him. And so I said goodbye. I had no idea she felt that way. You know, I'm on like cloud nine, leaving my girlfriend and going home for the night and, you know, just driving home. And I'm just praising God. God, you're so good. You're so wonderful. I love you so much. And as I was praising him in English, all of a sudden I crossed over into full-blown tongues. I didn't even know that I had crossed over until after a little while. I said, I don't understand what I'm saying. What's going on here? And I realized, what's going on? I'm speaking in tongues. And I drove home, and at the time it was before cell phones. I drove home and I called her on the phone and I was like, hey, guess what happened? She's like, what happened? Because she already knew, you little smarty pants. I said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. She goes, I know. I prayed for you. I prayed that God would light you up tonight as you went home. Tonight, my prayer for each and every one of you is that if you haven't yet experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that tonight, that you would experience its fullness, that this wouldn't be the roadblock, that you'd be able to believe, ask, and expect. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does that work. That's what John the Baptist talked about. He said he's the one who will baptize you with fire. Jesus is in the midst of his church. He's tending to its flame. And tonight, here at the altar, Jesus is going to do a work in baptizing individuals, giving them the power of God. Gifts are going to be given tonight here at the altar. People are going to be imparted the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the power and the ability of God. You guys are going to get the ability to be a greater witness. As you go from this place, you're going to have the power of God to believe God like you've never believed him before, to work miracles, pray for the sick and they'll get healed. Tonight, as you leave this place baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to start reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you and the word is going to come alive in a way that it never has before. Tonight, you're going to get a baptism of love because God is love. And where you weren't able to love your neighbor, where you weren't able to love your family, where you weren't able to get over, God is going to deliver you. God is going to heal you. And God is going to baptize you in that love so that that love can flow. Those rivers now, because you've taken a drink, will flow from your heart into those around you. Tonight, all who are thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. Can we all stand in the presence of God tonight? If you have the ability, would you stand to your feet right now? And those of you that want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just come and line up here at the altars tonight. Just come on down. If you want this, you got to believe, you got to ask. And if you show up at this altar, that's what you're asking for. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just come to the altar. Now, for those of you that are still in your seats, if you want it, the choice is yours. Come get it. I'm going to wait another minute. Maybe you're still trying to overcome this. God wants to meet you here at the altar. You can come right now. Have a drink. You want those rivers? You want that power? The Holy Spirit is where it's at. All right, they're still moving. There's still time. Still room here at the altar. We can go out. That's why we built such a big altar. It's for this reason. So we knew people were going to get saved. People were going to be getting freed, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what this is for. There's still room. So if you were wondering, is it too late? Is there too many people? Maybe they're going to run out of the Holy Spirit after, you know, 50 people and I didn't get up there quick enough. No, there's, remember, rivers. Rivers. There's enough for everybody. So come on. Come on. Yeah, brother. All right. Come on. Anybody else that you want this? Listen, you got to believe, got to ask, and you got to expect. Okay. Now remember, decently and in order. Front row, just step with your feet up on the edge of the stairs right here. Just come forward a little bit. If you're on the front row, just forward a little bit. If you're second row, just stay right there. Second row, stand back a little bit. Okay? All right. Don't get on the steps. Yeah. No, we don't want you. Remember, I said sometimes people fall down, so just making sure. Okay? I'm going to ask my pastors, any of the ordained ministers, our reverends, any of our board members, anybody that's here, Brian, will you come? Dr. Fred and Robin, Mignon, will you come? Okay? Bob, will you come? Thanks, Bob. Bob just got back from a missions trip. It's good to see you, Bob. Matt and Kathy, will you guys come and help us? Okay. All right. So we're going to do this real simple, okay? I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer to ask. Expect that at that moment you're going to receive. And then afterwards, the pastors and some of our leaders here, they're going to just come and just place a hand on you. Now listen, leaders, we're not praying long prayers tonight, okay? About 5 minutes, we're going to do this. Remember, decently in order. Doesn't take long with God. They're going to pray the simplest prayer. They're going to say, I baptize you now in the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's it. I baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So simple, okay? But when they do that, all you got to do is lift your hands up to the Lord and expect to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At that moment, you are submerged. You've got the power of God on the inside of you. At that moment, I would encourage you to take a deep breath in and start to praise God. Okay? If tongues flow out, cool, let it flow. If praises flow out, let it flow and start to search your soul. Is there an unknown language coming out? Because oftentimes you'll find in the book of Acts, that's the first sign that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, is that that gift of tongues comes out. Now, also with that comes all the other gifts like we talked about. Okay? So let's pray. Those of you that are out there in the audience, I want to encourage you guys, especially those of you that are filled, to start to pray. If you want to pray in the Holy Spirit, start to pray in the Spirit in an unknown language. Remember, you're praying just to you and God right now, but you're coming in agreement with what's going on. Those of you up front, I want you to just focus your heart on the Lord right now. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for each and every one of these that's here at the altar, God, that you meet them in this place right here. Right now, Jesus, you are the baptizer. Come and do your wonderful work in each and every one of these individuals. All right, let's ask together, those of you that are up front especially, say these words. Say, Father, I ask that you would baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit in his fullness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.